Okay. Good morning. All right. Leviticus. We are looking at the book of Leviticus, and this morning we have to be on about 180. Amen. So ensure you are pretty sharp in following up. Leviticus 1, verse 1. And the Lord called Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, and again, the way the book itself starts shows you the manner in which it is written. When he said, the Lord called out to Moses out of the tabernacle. Out of the tabernacle. And by the time you go to the epistles and you look at what is God's tabernacle, you discover it's man. But Moses wrote in a different light, which we have started seeing. Again, alright, so the book of Leviticus is quite somehow. I recall some years ago I was talking to someone, and I think I've shared it. And he said that book is too, I doesn't like it. It's all about blood, sacrifice, blood, altar, tabernacle. I said, that means you don't like Hebrews. He said, how did you know? I said, it's not rocket science. Amen. If you don't like Leviticus, you can't like Hebrews. And Hebrews is the New Testament you're talking about. And there should be no book in the Bible you don't like. It's not even left for you to like. Books are written so that you can learn from them. So that it can influence your service to God, your love for God, and your living as a Christian. We make mistakes sometimes and think, oh, I don't like that book. Or, I don't like that sermon. Sermons are not meant for you to like. They are meant for you to learn from. Sometimes the things that you're going to learn from are not the things you like. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes the things you really need are not things you want to hear. But you need them anyways. Have you ever tried giving a kid medicine before? Or injection? I recall there was one time he wanted to give me injection. I was about 9, 8, and I ran under the car. It was at night. That's one of the disadvantages when your day boy is a nurse. So I was just shivering, and I think it was malaria or something. So my mom just said, Mumbo. I thought she was going to get maybe tea or something. Because in our house, when you are sick, that you drink Bonvita. I know you guys grew up very, you know, silver spoon and all. But Bonvita is when you are going to boarding house or you are sick. Like you have to be very sick, then you do not have tea. You know, Bonvita is not tea in the real sense of it. But let's leave that one. And you have to over there, Yaros. Now Yaros was a deeper life woman. They stay upstairs. Ours was downstairs. And the woman came with injection. You know, this is the most horrible thing about nurses. They're just like this. You see, I can take everything. The moment you start doing this thing, when it's like, it's about to go down. So as you do like this, with the cold and everything, I just ran. Ubolowa! I was under the car. My dad said, I will start it, can you start it? It's better than injection. And that's the way some Christians also feel. What you need, what I needed was that injection. But I didn't want it. Sometimes what you need is not what you want to hear. And the book of Leviticus is in the Bible for a reason. Don't forget, every word of God is meant for you. I've seen people who, their entire Christian lives, they've never studied Leviticus. Why? It's not for us. It's about sacrifice. It's about blood, altar, priest. That's not us. That one is gone. Gone to where? It's not gone. It's part of our inheritance in Christ, Leviticus. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, so, we said the spine of the book is what? No, give me. No, I need the service. The spine of the book is Leviticus what? 19 verse 2. Chorus is now. What's that? Hey! This is the third though. Eh? Be you holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Can we cross it together? Want to go? Are you cold? Talk to someone, say, be you holy.
Be you holy.
Wait. Don't let us use KJV English. Say, be holy. Be holy. For the Lord God is holy. Be holy. For the Lord your God is holy. Be holy. For the Lord your God is holy. Talk to another person. It's not like you mean that one. Say, be holy. I didn't say be holy. Say be holy. For the Lord your God is holy. Hallelujah. Alright, so that is Leviticus. Because sometimes you're reading the book and then you're wondering, what exactly, we've read to chapter 4 now. 4, 3. Hey. Eh? You know why you cannot know? As you were about to look at it, you just saw, kidney, Abby. Ask a kidney. Kidney is in every chapter. There's tabernacle in every chapter. Yeah, which one again? So we'll just read again. No wala. Alright, so, and the funny thing is because as you're reading the book, you keep seeing the same thing. Bring a goat. It is a goat offering. You are going to slaughter it in front of the tabernacle. And then you not bring it near the tabernacle. Then you go to the altar. And then you sprinkle the blood. And you take the two kidneys. And the cow above the liver. And the liver above the kidney. And the fat of the kidney. And you present it. It's a sweet smelling savour. Now you're already bored. That's Leviticus. But what you must look at. We said something last week. That you must look at the words. And not the experience. That is the way to read what we call the Old Testament. Look at what they are saying, not what they are doing. Look at what's being said. For example, if you're looking at Abraham's act, you're going to be looking at him going to him taking Isaac, and he puts Isaac on the wood, and he takes a knife. And you're going to say, what is he doing? What is he doing? No, focus on what he is saying. What did he say? We are going to worship. We are going to come before God, me and my son. He said, and we come back. So focus on his word. We are going to worship. Focus on his word. God will provide himself a lamb. That's what he said. Father, I can see the wool. I can see the wood. Wow, great, great preparation. In fact, I must commend you, sir. Say, but there's something as you have taught me. There is no worship without sacrifice. Then Abraham said, God is the sacrifice. God is the sacrifice. He will provide by himself the sacrifice. So by the time I see Isaac on the wood, I'm not thinking Isaac is the sacrifice because Abraham already said, God will provide the sacrifice. Is it making sense? So you focus on the words. You focus on the words. Amen. Are we together? So, again, there's a way the book can appear that it puts anyone off. You start to feel it's abstract. But we must learn to treat it as a part of the books of the Bible. Amen. Amen. Alright. Well, was that the way the early church saw Leviticus? Definitely not. Again, Jesus taught from Leviticus. The apostles taught from Leviticus. Look at 1 Peter 1. How are we together this morning? Again, this is not even our explanation on the book of Leviticus at all. This is a pre-retreat teaching. Amen. Just that, these days we have to go a bit hermeneutical in all our teachings for a purpose. So we still take Leviticus properly. Hallelujah. This one is just overview. 1 Peter 1. So, Leviticus is not a book that the apostles ignored. Now, you cannot argue that they taught Genesis. You can't argue that one. Jesus himself taught Genesis. Can a man put off his wife? Why would you want to put off your wife? For every cause. He said, no. Have you not read in the beginning, Jesus taught it. He who created them created male and female. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Someone asked me one time, said that a man will leave father and mother and will cleave to his wife. That why is it that his wife is leaving father and mother? That he wants to leave father and mother. he wants to be the one that will go to the wife. I think there's a culture. Is it India now? Where it is the bride that pays groom price. I think we should try. I'm not saying any, I'm just saying we can try it and see how it works. Amen. They'll be rushing guys. Amen. Prophets would have been married by now. Someone have paid your groom price. Hallelujah. I won't talk. But in Nigeria, you know, bride price and all of that. Okay. 1 Peter 1. So again, we cannot argue that they taught from Genesis. We can't argue they taught from Exodus. We can't argue they taught from Deuteronomy. But Leviticus appears like, even Numbers. Leviticus and Numbers appear, they appear like the, they are not too loud out of Moses' teaching. But we are going to see that it's very loud. 1 Peter 1. We are going to read from verse 13 to about 19. But I'll read alone. Just read alone. Wherefore, guard up your loins of your mind. Be sober and up to the end for the grace that is brought unto you, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you to be holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Now, is that Leviticus? Come on, is that Leviticus? All right. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. Now, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You see that in Leviticus. Silver and gold. It's not just meat. From your vain conversations, received by treasure from your fathers. Can we read verse 19 and 20 together? With the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Wait. Precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. Is that Leviticus? That's Leviticus 1. Now put 1 and... So we are seeing Leviticus twice now. Be you holy for I am holy. That's Leviticus 19:2, right? Now, a lamb without blemish. Leviticus 1 verse 3. I believe every Christian should always yearn to be a Bible scholar. That you start out and say, I want to know the Bible. We have too many passive Christians. Whatever they just say. No. You must be a Christian proper. Amen. Leviticus 1 verse 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the earth, let him offer a male without blemish. Yeah. So that means some of the things we start seeing in Leviticus are too important just for physical. They are not just goats. And we're going to see. Again, don't forget last week where we started from. That there was a reason for the sacrifice. We are going to come there. So we said, the apostles taught from Leviticus. Yes or no? Come on, yes or no? Alright? Look at Ephesians 5. You see the same thing. A lamb without blemish. You see an average Muslim. He knows his Quran well. But you talk to a Christian. And the next thing you tell is, I'm not a pastor now. I'm not a pastor. How do you expect me to know it? Some people cannot quote 50 Bible verses. 50. Just 50. Amen. 50. Why? If you can quote 250, let me see. Even, we used to do something. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Genesis, Numbers, Deuteronomy. When we get to the end, we'll start again, Genesis. It's beautiful. Now, I am not saying that the person that is quoting means that he's walking in it. Hallelujah. I've seen one that just finished quoting, do not keep malice. Be angry, not and sin. And the next order for your lady. So I've quoted that one now. Yeah, you just quoted, be angry, not and sin. And you're slapping someone. So again, it does not mean the person is walking in it, but again, don't throw the baby with the bath water.
The fact that, don't use that one to cover the fact that you don't know your Bible. I want to know my Bible. Amen. I want to know the word of God. Because I believe the word of God. Alright? Ephesians 5, 27. That's what. Are you there now? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or sort or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without. So, don't forget, Peter called Jesus the one without blemish. Paul now tells you, wait, it's not just Jesus, his church. He wants to present his church without blemish. So again, Leviticus is not just about Christ, it's about us. That's why it says, you will now be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. What God has become, the church will become it. That's what it's saying. That's Leviticus. So Leviticus is Christ and his church. Christ and his church as sacrifice. So you can see that Paul quoted from Leviticus. Look at Leviticus 2:11. And don't forget, the way I've explained this to you before, this glorious house, so I expect that you know what I'm talking about. I told you that every verse you see in the epistle is not just a verse. It is an offshoot of a teaching, right? Again, is when you see Ephesians 5:27, for example, he might present himself a lamb without blemish. It's not that Paul was saying a lamb without blemish, you know. That's not what he taught. He must have taught Leviticus, right? He must have shown them that's a summative writing. So he now summarized everything and said, that thing I taught you that time, Christ and his church. We now, don't forget, Ephesians 5 is all about Christ and his church. Christ, a husband loves your wife, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. As Christ loves the church and his church is submissive to Christ, then he says, the church will now be the lamb without blemish. I thought that was Christ. In fact, if you just talk about Leviticus, you don't know it's Christ. You just think, we are just bringing goats. Next week, they say we should bring goats again. You know, but Peter and Paul now says, not P-Square. Peter and Paul now says, no, that lamb of Leviticus, that's Jesus. Don't forget where we started from. Concerning himself. Yeah? Luke 24. Luke 24, 25. All fools and slow about to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Now, you open your Bible if you are not clear about it. And to enter into his glory. Then beginning at Moses, verse 27, Luke 24, verse 27. Beginning at Moses, we said Moses' writing. Beginning at the writings of Moses, Jesus now expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning. So can we say beginning at Leviticus? That is, because Leviticus is one of the writings of Moses. So we said Leviticus is about Christ. On the surface, look at me, look up. On the surface, you are not going to see Christ at all. All you are going to see is Aaron and his son eating. You say, Beck, the one that you bake, don't bake it soon. They just gave different condition. My son does not like deep fried egg. You know, just fry it small. For this other goat, we know that we chop goat like that, but we'll manage it. As you bring it to the temple, what shall we do? You have brought it. Put it in oil. Say you have cinnamon. You know, Aaron and his sons are just cooking with Moses. Moses said, that lamb now, is what we are going to do. This is what we are going to do. When you cut it, I don't chop liver. It's not good for my health. So, remove the liver, put that on the altar. But you see the agema part. It's there now. The skin of the we'll read it. The common part. There's a feast of the tabernacle tomorrow. I will start it. It's not, there's no one, but we'll print flyer. We'll use the common. they put a lot of, and then you're wondering, how is this about Christ? It says concerning me. Don't forget Luke 24, the same verse 44 to 46 that we read. The things I have spoken to you while I was there with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me, which are written in the law of Moses. So Jesus said, the things that were written were not fulfilled. We've spoken about that one now. We said it has not been fulfilled. Last week, I think we did a lot of ground study. Yeah, they have not been fulfilled yet. And so, whatever you see in Leviticus is not fulfilled. It's not fulfilled. Jesus said, they are to be fulfilled and they are concerning me. John 5:39. We've seen all of that. You search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. So again, Leviticus is about Jesus. But now we have seen that it's not just Jesus. It's about what? Jesus and his church. Don't forget, you are going to be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. So you are also in focus in Leviticus. I said open Leviticus 2:11, right? No meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey. I like honey. In any offering of the Lord made by fire. Now, how did Jesus and the apostles interpret this one? Look at Mark 8. He said, you shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven. Mark chapter 8. I think we taught this one in one of the Daniel prophets. These are compulsory courses. It's not a Bible school. It's not for Bible school. No, maybe in their mind, this is Bible school now. No Bible school now. Just tell us five ways we can serve God. It's part of what we are doing. Amen. I can even give you 29. But you have to know your Bible. It's God's plan for you. Mark 8, are you there? Can we read verse 15 together? Oh yeah. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Aaron. Now, you see leaven in Leviticus and you're wondering, why did Moses say when you make it with leaven, don't burn the leaven, don't do this. Again, Jesus is now using leaven as doctrine. As teaching. Beware of the teachings of the Pharisees. Now you readily will not see that in Leviticus, but by the time we are done reading, you will see why Jesus will use leaven as doctrine. It's clear. Paul also did the same thing in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there? Verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, he's using bread and unleavened and leaven as though you should understand what he's saying. Because you should understand. I taught you before that before you get to 1 Corinthians 5, every writer of the epistle assumes, and the assumption is right, that you must have read Genesis to Malachi. It's an assumption that before you get to 500 level, you went to 200 level. Would the lecturer be wrong to assume that? Come on, look up now. Lecturer just say, so when you were in 200 level, guys, did the doctor also to teach you? So, now say, how dare you think that we were in 200 level? How dare you think we went to 200 level? No, it is proper. Amen. You know, there are things that, I saw one very nonsense kid, one very naughty. he does this medical school experiences. So he went to medical school. You know what I'm talking about. There are some times where you sleep in class, and that 5 minute sleep. Now you're not just medical school. Yeah, your own school too. Sorry, that 5 minute sleep. They've said a lot of things, and then by the time you wake up, so the next class, let's try to say, as Dr. Kinikoko taught you about ECG, everybody say yes, say, when? Have they taught you about, yes, everybody say yes, it happened to me. I thought I was in the class now, I was in that class. My seat partner, she nodded. I was talking about sleeping now. 5 minutes. That was when they said all these things. I have failed. When I was awake, they didn't say anything. You know, they taught you all this scale, all these measurements. In 5 minutes. So by the time we go to the next class, the lecturer just assumed, just say, so you have been taught that one, so let's move on. Come on, move on. Can you just Go again. You are not going again. Alright, so Peter is assuming you have read Leviticus. Jesus is assuming you have read Leviticus. That's why when the Pharisees come to him, you say, have you not read? I thought this was common knowledge. Have you not read that in the beginning, he that made them male and female, is common knowledge. You should have read this thing. And so every writer of the epistle, expects that you have gone through Leviticus properly. So by the time he says, don't let us use the leavened bread, not as of the old leaven, of wickedness and malice. Let us have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5:8. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He expects that you understand it. So we're going to see all of that in Leviticus. How does the leavened bread mean whatever? Is it only Peter? No, in Galatians 5, Paul also used it. Is it only Paul in Corinth? Is it only Corinth? No, Galatians 5, verse 9. Learn something? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And he was talking about doctrine. Don't forget, Galatians is about all of Galatians. All of Galatians is about false doctrine. A doctrine that was not Christ. A doctrine of Christ plus another thing. Oh, you cannot be saved except you baptize, except you are baptized. You cannot be saved except you pay tithe. You cannot be saved except you give money to the prophet. You cannot be saved except you do this or that. Galatians is about, no, you will be saved when you believe in Jesus alone. Christ plus nothing. That's Galatians. So, then he comes and says, why you should be careful is because a little leaven. If you allow one small thing, it will leaven the whole lump. Alright, so, doctrine is the leaven of Leviticus. Again, by the time we get to the teaching of Leviticus proper, I think we'll be able to appreciate it properly. So, Jesus himself also taught from Leviticus. We've said Luke 24, 25, 27, Luke 24, 44 to 46, John 5, 39. But look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. Now, I want to pay attention to this one. We're going to read verse 15 and 16 together. Everybody. Are you there now? One to go. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Stop. So, the Holy Scriptures there, is it Genesis to Revelation or Genesis to Malachi? Why? Because at the time of the writing of this, there was no book of Timothy at least. Abi? The four Gospels are not in circulation. So, when he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, you have known the words of the prophets, Genesis to Malachi, you have known the book of the law, the Torah. He now says, if you have known it, then you will have seen that it is able to make you wise. Unto what? Are you in church? It's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So that means Genesis to Malachi already has a purpose. Let's put it properly. You have known Leviticus. And Leviticus is able to make you wise unto salvation. Now, on the surface of Leviticus, you are not going to see anything about salvation. You most likely will not see it at all. Like we have read, you just see doves, turtle doves, goats, ram, and you're wondering, is there a layer? And Paul comes and says, no, it's for salvation through faith in Christ. Is this salvation? I think I will enjoy salvation. Salvation is about Asun. Amen. Asun Sunday. You know, those are nice things. This group, I don't understand this church. This church, I don't understand this glorious house church. We don't do some things. Like Asun. Eh? Asun Sunday. No, wouldn't you like it? Eh? Oh, Yilata. Amen. To the glory of God. With Jews. Hallelujah. You know, they don't have their call. I know some of you don't have their call. How can you say a drink that is called Bullet and you bought it? What's your purpose? A monster. That one, I don't understand it. The pastor, how do you know these drinks? Ah, I saw it now. Amen. I don't take alcohol. You shouldn't. It's bad for your health. Amen. Amen. Ah, the amen is not loud. Amen.
Amen.
Ah. party war.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God sanctify your tongue. Amen.
Amen.
Mamix. Take Coca-Cola. take sugar. Alright, so again, on the surface of Leviticus, you're just going to see Asun and all of those things, and you're going to wonder. Moses, I thought you said, they said you wrote about Christ. Is it Christ you are frying? And you are baking? No, we'll get there. Alright, so it says, Leviticus is about salvation through faith in Christ. Can we verse 16 together now? All scripture. Now, that all scripture, can we say Leviticus? For the purpose of the decision, right? Don't forget, it's Genesis to Malachi, but pick Leviticus. So, Leviticus is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. And for reproof. And for correction. And for instruction. Now wait. So now let's know the purpose of Leviticus. Leviticus is said it's possible for doctrine. The word doctrine is the word didaskalia in the Greek. D-I. I always spell it because I've seen a lot of, amen. People spell it in this church. D-I. D-A. S-K-A-L-I-A. Dida. Or didaskalia. Even myself, as I'm pronouncing it, it's not probably the right pronunciation. I remember I met a Jewish man one time. And so I pronounced one Hebrew word. I forgot it, I think it was, he was laughing. So he laughing. He said, the way he said your pronunciation, say it again. Have you ever met someone from another tribe and they pronounce the word and say it again. That's what he was doing me. I said, I'm pastor. Say it again. I said it again. He called his wife. Come on, listen. Amy Moemwa the clown. Come on, listen. Come this. His own English is not smooth, but he's an elderly man. I don't do anything. I just say it again. That's Kalia. He said how Africans pronounce it. What's Africans? I'm Nigerian. I'm not African. People just think every African talk the same way. Have you been to South Africa before? Brother. Ogana. Charlie. They are not part of us. Amen. Just kidding. No. I beg. Alright. So again. Didaskalia. Which means to explain. So Leviticus is profitable for explanation. That is, you will only get the benefit out of this book when you explain it. That means whatever I'm seeing on the surface is not what I'm seeing. It's not what I'm meant to see. There needs to be an explanation. I am seeing goats. I am seeing things being slaughtered. I'm seeing blood. But it says it needs an explanation. Now, where you will be an horrible Bible student is when you now take it and you just start running with it. I told you here. I've seen someone that dressed like a priest in Leviticus before. Now did like the priest with blood. With blood at the right post, blood on the left post. We are the Leviticus priest. Guy, sorry, man, you're not looking fine, no. You look like a vampire. You look like someone that is always leaking blood. Okay. With an effort, then, a robe, Aaron that dressed like that said not like it. Moses was punishing his brother, something like that. So, yeah, dressed like this. I can't do. And you dress like that in 2021, nothing about. How can you dress like that? Because you are not seeing that the book is profitable for what? Explanation. So Leviticus is given by the Spirit of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. And I'm trying my possible best to come to the lowest to explain this. Some of you probably have seen that. And it's profitable for explanation. It says the explanation will now bring reproof. Reproof is the word electio. E-L-E-G-C-H-O. E-L-E-G-C-H-O. Which means conviction. Evidence. He says we explain tire, no evidence. This one, when you explain tire, it will bring evidence. Amen. Alright? Evidence. So, when Leviticus is explained, what now happens is that my faith is strengthened. I now have conviction. Now, the reason why a lot of believers do not have conviction even about Christ yet and his resurrection and his power at work in us today is because they've not really understood what we call the Old Testament. Forget Matthew to Revelation. They don't understand Genesis. They don't understand Exodus. They don't understand Leviticus. And when you don't understand it, your faith is shaken. Paul is saying this book can bring you conviction. Conviction about what? Christ and his church. That's where I start from. Right? Then the conviction brings correction. We know what correction is. To put things in proper order. Then it brings growth, which is instruction and righteousness. Look at Matthew 22. I want us to finish service early today. I say that every Sunday. By minute today. Matthew 22. See, I'm not confused. I understand Leviticus. And I'm better for it. It helps my work. I almost said Leviticus. Matthew 22. I almost said Leviticus 22. Matthew 22. Alright, so they came to Jesus. In verse 34. When the Pharisees had said that he had put us this silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, who was a lawyer, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Again, the law is the book of Moses in this context. Genesis to Deuteronomy. Which is the great commandment in the law? And they're expecting Jesus to say, bring the turtle doves, that the great commandment is sacrifice. Or the great commandment is atonement. Then he says, you will love the Lord your God. Yeah? With all your heart. And with all your mind. And with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. That is, the moment you see this first one, you will see the second one. The moment you see this one, you will see this one. The second is like unto it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. Can we read verse 40 together? On these two commandments, hang the law and the prophets. They asked him, the great commandment in the law. Just said, it's not just the law. Even when you read Isaiah, even when you read Ezekiel, when you read Obadiah, Micah, the law and the prophet is hanging on what? You will love the Lord your God, eh? And you will love your what? Your neighbor as yourself. Amen. So, Leviticus, let's put it in proper context. Leviticus, summary. Love the Lord your God, eh? With all your heart, and with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, are you going to see this on the surface? No. That means we need to look at it properly. And go to Leviticus. Now let's read a bit. We stopped at chapter 4. Yes. We start from chapter 5 now. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or a carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be eaten from him, he shall also be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man be defiled withal, and it be eat from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it shall be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, it shall be eat from him when he knows of it. Then he shall be guilty in one of his hands. Some of you don't understand what he's saying. You see this in James 5. James 5, you see it in verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any oath. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Let you fall in condemnation. This is everything that Leviticus is saying. Let your yes be yes. If you know the truth about something and someone is swearing, and you know the truth, here you are guilty. If the person is actually guilty. Everything that we just read now is let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Don't swear by heaven or earth or by any oath. Can't we just, Can't Moses just write it like that? Abba. Don't forget, his audience is determining the way he's writing. There is no way you write without your audience in mind. If I'm writing to primary school students, is there a way I will write that will be different if I'm writing to final year students in university? Huh? Right? There's a way I'm going to talk with some maturity when I'm talking to final year students. Right? The proper thing to do is you have to be accountable. Right? Accountable. But if I'm writing to a primary school student, I'm not going to write the proper thing to do is to be accountable. Go understand proper thing. Children, you know uncle loves you. Now, to a final year, I don't need to be telling him, do you know I love you? What if I don't? If I don't love you, that means you should not be accountable. You're not serious. But to a primary school, uncle loves you, right? Yes. Because of that, everything you want to do, you tell auntie. Are we clear? Yes, uncle. But if your final year student is still saying, yes, uncle, you're supposed to be down. Amen. So, your audience determines the way you write. Did they not determine it for Paul too? 1 Corinthians 3. I'll show you something. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you are not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal, and there are divisions among you, strifes and envy. Are you not carnal workers, men? Are you seeing that? He's saying, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Why? Because you are not able to bear it. So that means my audience can determine the way I write or the way I speak. Yes or no? For example, if I was talking to the leaders alone, there's a way I'll teach this. And I'm not going to be going all this. It'll probably be more boring than you are seeing now. I'll just go directly. So Leviticus, we're done. But I'm talking to everyone, and I understand that there are different stages of growth. So I have to, again, bring it low. Hallelujah. Not low, no. Like I have to take more time. Is that clear? The same thing we do in our camp meetings. That's the truth. Camp meeting, because we have a lot of people come around who are not glorious our church members. So often you discover that the way camp meeting is being taught. How many of you have discovered that before? You've not noticed before. Camp meeting, I'll be going round and round and round and round to get to one place. But let's come to service and let me teach you that same thing. I go back to Leviticus. So again, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. That's what Moses is writing and he's saying, if you touch any unclean thing, I just thought to make that one clear. So verse 4, if a soul swear pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it shall be, man shall pronounce with an oath, it will be eaten from him when he knows of it. He shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he is guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. Again, James also said the same thing, you confess your sin one to another. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned. A female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his offering. And if he is not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, as he has committed, two turtle doves and two young pigeons unto the Lord. One for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off the head from his neck, and he shall not divide it asunder. He shall divide it asunder, but he has removed the head from the neck. Okay. And he shall sprinkle. Oh, we not get that. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar. And the rest of the blood shall be wrung about the bottom of the altar. It's a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the manner. So when he brings just the lamb, what will he now offer for the burnt offering? Now some of you are not reading along. Say you bring a lamb for a sin offering. But if you don't have a lamb, bring two turtledoves and two pigeons. One will be for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. I'm not saying that. What if I don't bring the two and I bring the lamb? Which one will you use for the burnt offering? According to the manner, the priest shall make atonement for him, which is sin, which he has sinned. He shall be forgiven. For if he not be able to bring two turtledoves and two pigeons, then he that has sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour. That is, if you have money for now, the two turtledoves and the two pigeons, oh yeah, bring fine flour. Elubo. All right, so I'm just kidding, no, I beg. They bring fine flour. Now, some people have said, now, it's because God likes blood. What about the fine flour? Does he have blood? He's just saying, if you cannot avoid lamb, bring 2 turtle doves and 2 pigeons. Oh yeah, you cannot afford 2 pigeons. Yeah, bring flour. Now, what does that show you? The issue is not what you're bringing. The issue is what? Eh? Sacrifice. So, we are going to get it. He's only saying, if you cannot afford lamb, oh yeah, bring this one. If you cannot bring this one, bring this one. So the issue is not just like you want to travel. If you want to travel local flight within Nigeria, they'll tell you have something to present. It means of ID, yeah. So if you don't have driver's license, you bring your national ID. If you don't have national ID, you bring your international passport. If you don't have national passport, you bring that's national ID now. National ID card. You bring whatever. The issue is not what you are bringing. I don't have an INO. It's a international passport I have. That's not the issue. The issue is identify yourself. Is it making sense? All right. So when Aaron comes and he says, bring a lamb, you have sinned. Why? See this, you know? Sin is, Zadara said, Wallahi. Wallahi, I did not collect money. And I know that she collected money because she likes money. Amen. Don't you? Eh? That's bad. Me too, I like. Don't you like money? Before me. Like after service, they come to you now and say, just 20 million, you will not do a galio. Some people have not rejoiced in their life before. If you give them 10 million, say, all this rejoicing, I don't like it. Give me 20 million. Even Sefa, 20 million Sefa, you will rejoice. Alright? Sefa is bigger than that right now, unfortunately. So, the sin is Sister Dora lied. But I know she lied. I'm not gonna lie though. I know she lied, and I did not say it. He said, I have to bring lamb. May we know she know. He said, I have to bring lamb. They work out the lamb. Someone else went to Aaron one day, he said, all this lamb has finished the market too. Now I'm not calling lamb. one naughty artist. He drew Aaron. He had Aaron that is fat, and his sons. People did not get the joke. I got it straight away. Amen. If you can still not get it now, don't worry. Forget about it. I said, how can Aaron be fat like this? And I got it. You can't be chopping that kind of a lamb chops, lamb stick, and not be fat. Alright. So, he said, lamb has finished market. Aaron said, bring turtle dove now. Meat now, meat. Bring turtle dove. Bring a pigeon. One will be for a sin offering. One will be for a burnt offering. Amazing. The question is, which one did Abraham offer? Did he offer sin offering? Did he offer burnt offering? Why are they offering it? We'll see. Is it making sense? Alright. Then they say, well, see, I'm even still owing kidney. Moses, ask Moses. Moses is the senior prophet. I'm owing him. I don't have money for turtle dove or pigeon. Bring flower now. The issue is not what you're bringing. The issue is atonement. The issue is sacrifice. So continue reading. Are you enjoying now? Alright. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, verse 13, as touching his sin. And he that has sinned one of these, he shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priests. The remnant of the meat shall be the priests as a meat offering. So now the priests, they chop meat offering. The sin offering is for God. The meat offering is for the priest. Glory to his name. God will take sin away. The priest will take meat away. That's what it means. That's the meaning of sin offering now. That is, I have sinned. There's an offering for sin. So the offering takes away the sin. Everyone said, I will not lie, I will not steal. This one is meat offering. I'll take the meat home. Amen. Okay? And the Lord has spoken in verse 14 to Moses saying, if a soul commits a trespass, and sin through ignorance, that is not known in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish. Don't forget that without blemish is his theology. Have you? Again, signifying of who? Christ. And, alright. A ram without blemish out of the flocks with the estimation of shekels of silver. And I told you that silver is part of where Peter was saying that you are not redeeming corruptible things like silver. All right. After the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering, and shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it to the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and shall be forgiven him. And if a soul commits any of these things, which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wish for it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with an estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he has erred, and wish it not. And he shall be forgiven him. It's a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless the reading of his word.
So, we said, why all these offerings? So, obviously, in Leviticus, you are going to see a lot of sacrifice, a lot of offerings, atonement, whether it's the priest that is eating it or not. We are seeing it. Abi? Why? So last week, we went where? We went to the Genesis of offerings. Right? And that was who? Abel. And we said, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. We saw that in Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we said, whatever was Abel's sacrifice, was it about what he brought? Eh? Exactly. Exactly what the priest is saying. It's not about what you bring, it's about the sacrifice. The art of sacrifice. So Abel brought a lamb without blemish. Let's just be like that. In the Leviticus time. And he used that lamb to signify of Christ's death. So, Abel bringing a lamb as offering was a show of his faith in what God will do. Yes or no? Eh? That is, one day God will offer himself as the sacrifice. Jesus will be God's lamb. In quote? Jesus will be God's lamb. So, Abel now brought that as his own show of faith. And hypodegma, a sign. We have talked hypodegma before, remember now? Like 2 years ago. H-U-P-O-D-E-I-G-M-A, right? Hypodegma. A show of faith. A show of faith. For example, so let's say, Sister Deborah has, you did an MBA. So you want to do MBA. You don't want to do MBA. The one you are doing is enough for you. But I want to do MBA, yeah. Okay. Victoria. Mm-hmm. Alright. So, you did an MBA, you just finished your course. She did an MBA. Now, how do I show that I believe in her? Eh? Let's say I've got a company that needs administration or that needs leadership, right? I can offer it to her and say, okay, you know what? Take care of my company. Now, naturally, I would not just give anybody, but because I believe that you must have learned something. I believe that what you were taught well. So, I will show you that giving her my company is an hypodegma. A show of belief. Is it making sense? You will see it with Abraham bringing his son is an hypodegma. That is, I'm showing that what God has said he will do, I believe he will do it. What God has said he will do, I believe he will do it. Moses built a tabernacle as an hypodegma. I believe that one day we will inhabit by the Spirit. I believe that one day God will dwell in man. So what will I do? I'll build a tabernacle. Alright, so again, Abel bringing an offering was a show of faith, yes or no? Abraham bringing Isaac, was he a show of faith? Huh? Alright, so again, they are showing their faith in God's faithfulness to his promise. Don't forget, the promise was in Genesis 3, where God promised to save man. They will now bring those things as a show of their own faith in God's faithfulness. But they did it once. So you find Abel's offering, Genesis 4. You find Abraham's offering, Genesis 22. So if Moses suddenly brings back the practice of sacrifice, of sprinkling, don't forget, the blood of Abel was blood of sprinkling, alright? If Moses now brings back the practice of sprinkling and sacrifice, Why would Israel now be doing it? To show? We pray the blind prayers now, right? Let the post guard shout the catapults. Amen. Abel brought a lamb to show what? His faith in God's faithfulness. Abraham brought Isaac to show his faith in God's promise. Why did Moses bring sacrifice to Israel? So that every time they sacrifice, they will remember God's promise. So for every time they bring the lamb without blemish, he's telling them, this is what God will do. This is what God will do. Every time they bring the ram, as they, whatever, yeah, it's kidney that you're bringing or liver, is a show of your faith. Don't forget what Jesus said. The things that will be fulfilled. Abi, that's where you're coming from. Things that will be fulfilled, alright? Not yet fulfilled, will be fulfilled. A show of faith. That is Leviticus. So, those sacrifices was to show faith. Now, someone said, but Abel did it once. Abraham did it once. Jesus did it once, right? Why is Israel doing it every time? Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I love God's word. Are you just saying that because I said it? I love God's word. I do. I really do. Now you don't say, pastor has not taught Leviticus or anything. I don't even know why those sacrifice. Again, was the issue about the sacrifice, was the issue about what you are bringing for sacrifice? Huh? Don't forget, sacrifice and offerings I did not demand. A body has prepared me. That is a summary of Leviticus. You see, in Hebrews 10 now, we are in Hebrews 10, yeah? Let's read. We are going to read together from verse 1. Verse 9. Want to go? For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices. You're not reading. Uh-huh. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because should have no more conscience of sin. Now wait. What is the writer of Hebrews saying before you now don't understand what that one is saying? He's saying, the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Don't forget, that's where you're coming from. It's not yet fulfilled. Good. And not the very image of things. It can never with those sacrifices that we have seen, burnt offering, sin offering, whatever, which they offered year by year, continually make the commas. That is, that will not suffice. Verse 2 says, for them, would they not have ceased to be offered? That is, if Israel understood it the way Abel understood it, and the way Abraham understood it, they will offer it once. Is it making sense? That the day Moses sees that Israel, they understand the essence of sacrifice, he says it will stop. It will have ceased to be offered. Because they are not perfect. The commas are not perfect. Abel made the sacrifice once. Abraham made the sacrifice once. Noah made the sacrifice once. Right now people saying, if Israel also now understand the way Abel did, they will sacrifice when? How many times? Why? Because Jesus will die. Okay. For them, would they not have ceased to be offered? No. But because the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Hey, so, what was Aaron now doing when he said sin offering? The sin offering is a meat offering. Alright, so it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Wherefore, he comes into the world, saying, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body you have prepared me. In both offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books, is written concerning me, O Lord, to do your will. Is this Christ? What is his will? To take away sin. Okay? Verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin, you would not, neither has pleasure in, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first. What is the first?
He takes away the fourth, that he might establish the second. What is the first? The sacrifices by of bulls and goats and rams, alright? That he might establish the second. Second is what? Christ's sacrifice, okay? By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Once for all. Just the way it's meant to be. But in Leviticus, what you're going to see is what? Why? Because of their unbelief. So, the sacrifices are repeated in unbelief. Outside unbelief, in faith, the sacrifice is once. Why? Because Jesus would die once for all. Learn something? So, Abraham offered once, Abel offered once, but they kept doing it as a remembrance of their rebellion. Verse 11 says, and every high priest stands daily ministering, and every priest stands daily ministering, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made. Can we verse 14 together? For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. By one offering. Say one offering. One offering. So, the entire Leviticus is so that Israel can make one offering. But they kept making it. Why? Why would they keep making it? Till the day you will have faith. Till the day faith will be birthed in them. Then when faith comes, the sacrifice stops. 2 Corinthians 3. Show something. We'll look at the priest maybe sometime later. Not today. So don't forget, last week I said, so Christ's sacrifice is both for sin as and our what? Our example. Right. We'll look at that. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 13. And not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded to flow. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of God. Again, what is the glory of God? Follow the context where we are coming from. What is the glory of God? Follow where we are coming from. He says when Moses is read, the veil is still on their face. They still want to make those sacrifices. That's why they came to him. What is the great commandment of the Lord? Which one should we start doing now? Of all the sacrifices. Is it sin offering? Is it burnt offering? Is it peace offering? Is it trespass offering? Jesus said, no. Love. Believe God. Love your Lord your God. That's faith in Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's your service to humanity. Your service in Christ. Now, he says, when we turn to the glory of God, what is the glory of God? Christ's sacrifice that is once. He says, when we turn to the glory of God, the veil is taken away. The veil of sacrifices and burnt offerings and all of that is taken away. Because that's where the Spirit of the Lord is. And you find liberty. And we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Again, so when I say we are changed from the same image from glory to glory, is it we are moving from level 1 to level 2? Eh? So from glory to glory, what is the glory? From offering of turtle doves, we have now changed from glory to what? The glory of God in Christ. We are moving from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. How many glory you want to move from? He's just saying you are moving from the sacrifice of turtle doves, that when you turn to Christ, you will now see the glory of God, that it is Christ that will do the offering. Just like Abraham said. Just like Abraham said, he is the sacrifice. Just like Abel said, he is the sacrifice. Therefore, seeing that, verse chapter 4, verse 1, seeing that we have this ministry, we receive mercy, we faint not. I'll explain that one much later. Alright, so let me just summarize as we close. So why did Moses ordain priests? Hebrews 8. Wait. One more thing. Hebrews 8. So why did Moses ordain priests? In Hebrews 8, as some of us won. Now, of the things which have been spoken, this is the summary. We have such an high priest. Again, the word priest is the word Hierus. H-I-E-R-E-U-S. H-I-E-R-E-U-S. You see it in Hebrews 5, 6, Hebrews 7, 1, Hebrews 7, 11, Hebrews 7, 20. Hebrews 5, 6, Hebrews 7, 1, Hebrews 7, 11, Hebrews 7, 20. We're going to look at that before. We said we have such a priest who is set on the right hand of God. Why did he use the word high priest? Of course, because there are priests on the earth, then he uses Jesus as the high priest. The most high priest, something like that. He's talking about heavenly. The word high is heavenly there. Seated on high. That's seated in the heavens. Alright, we said at the right hand of God, of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle. Why would he say true tabernacle? The writer of Hebrews is doing compare contrast, just the way it has been doing from Hebrews 1. Angels and Christ, Melchizedek and Jesus, Moses and Jesus, he's doing the same thing. He's now doing Levites, Leviticus and Jesus. He says one is the high priest, one is the priest. One is the true tabernacle. Not the one that they are making those videos about. He says there's a true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man should have something to offer too. That if you call Jesus the high priest, he must offer something. Because every high priest offers something. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example, hypotegma, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he says, see it, make everything according to the pattern that he showed you in the month. Verse 6 says, but now, he has obtained a more excellent ministry. What did I call more excellent? Eternal. Thank you. It's nice. A more excellent ministry. By how much he is now a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then there should be no place having sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day we had taken by the land, I led them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, say the Lord. For this is the covenant I make with the house of Israel. That's what I say the Lord. I will put my laws in their... So, that one that they are trying to observe, he said, I will put it in their hearts by the Spirit and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they will be my tabernacle. They will be my city. Just the way Hebrews 11 now told us that Abraham looked for a people whose builder and maker was God. Right? We'll look at all of that. Pray for me as I close. So again, Leviticus. Let's go back to Leviticus. Leviticus 6. So Leviticus is about Christ's sacrifice. A lamb without blemish. Offered for sin. How many times? Once. But like we have seen, it's also about the believer. What Christ has done now becomes our example. Where, as he laid down his life, we now lay down our own lives. We'll see all of that in Leviticus. I just want to say it. We have a lot of Christians who do not, they don't want to sacrifice. It's all about Christ's finished work. But you're also to be without blemish. Don't forget, Leviticus is about you be like your God. You be holy as he's holy. After all those sacrifices, I asked you last 2 weeks, I asked you to put something on your left hand so that you don't eat with it. It is a sweet smelling savour. It is holy unto the Lord. Remember? Remember? I asked you to put it somewhere. Those sacrifices were to show that, you see, we know that God, this is for you. You are the one that sacrificed, so we bring it to you. Moses has told us so. He said you will sacrifice yourself. So, I give it to you. You sacrifice yourself. Then Moses now said, nah. The same way we sacrifice himself, you've got to also be holy. You also now have to be the sacrifice. So what you see in Leviticus is Christ as the Lamb of God and we as his lambs. You are not a goat. You are Christ's lamb. What that means is that you also sacrifice. Don't forget, this is the commandment. You love the Lord your God. You now love your neighbor as yourself. That love your neighbor as yourself is not about not keeping malice. It's not about not... It's way, way, way more than that. It's way, way more than that. Moses already demonstrated that in the Passover, where he said, the angel will pass. When he sees the blood, he will pass over. He says, so you put the blood of the lamb, put it on your doorpost. He says, if your neighbor does not have, if your neighbor does not have, he said, give him part of the lamb. That will be the preaching of the gospel. You take the lamb to the neighbor. When they don't have, you give them the lamb. You give them the blood. So that when the destroyer passes, your neighbor is also saved. So when he's saying love your neighbor as yourself, is a narrative that goes beyond I'm giving food at Christmas, or I help my neighbor to pack clothes from the line, or I saw my neighbor's tire. You know all those things. Those are ephemerals. Amen. The real love is by the Spirit. Christ has called us to sacrifice also. Not just to be partakers of his own sacrifice, but also to sacrifice. Look at Philippians 1:29. I'm just going to close on these ones, as I inspire us to live a life of sacrifice. Philippians 1. I want everybody to turn there, please. Can we read verse 29 together? For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Amen. Is that Matthew 22? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Exactly. Unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. We must not be Southland Christians. We must not be Christians who all we know about God is meet my needs, provide for this, provide for that. That's not the life God intends for you. At all. It is given to you, not just to believe. It's given to you, not just to believe. Oh, I love you, Lord, from the bottom of my heart. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. It is also not given to you to suffer. Those are things that people don't say. How can you tell someone, say, it's given to you to suffer for Christ? Say, I don't suffer. I don't suffer. You know that part of the confession in Christ? I don't suffer. No, I am in plenty. I know. He said, it is given to you to suffer for Christ. That's why he uses Jesus as an example in the next chapter. He said, who, even though he was God, he thought it not robbery to be man, laid aside his majesty, became man. And because of that, he's been given a name that's above every other name. That his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, in heaven and earth, beyond the earth. It is given to us to suffer for Christ. To lay down our own selves. Sometimes our own ambitions. Sometimes our own pursuits. And to go to his pursuit. It is given to us to be in Leviticus. a lamb without blemish. A lamb without blemish. Are you with me tonight? Look at Philippians 2. Let me show you something. That verse 17. Now, start from verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. This is Paul talking. When someone who has preached that much is talking. He has preached so much, this is towards the end of his ministry. Where he said to live is Christ, to die is gain. See what he said. He said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I have been offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, joy, and I rejoice with you all. For the same cause also, do you joy and rejoice with me. Paul says, what I am doing in the ministry of Christ is I'm being offered up as a sacrifice. There are people who cannot just lay aside a little comfort, a little pleasure for the purpose of Christ. When last, you know what David said? He said, I will not give unto the Lord what will not cost me a thing. People use it for offering. Whatever you want to use it for. But it's much more than offering. If your service to God has not cost you something, then how is it a service? Moses says, it will cost you something. You use tithe to just be involved in oath swearing. He said it will cost you something. To show you that it's not just given to us to accept Christ's offering. Our lives must be an example. Are there things you have laid aside because of Jesus? Or everything about you is about you? Are there things that it pains you? I recall the day I met a particular professor. I think I've shared the story before. He was a professor and he left everything and went on the mission field. I've shared it before. Have I shared it before? The day he was talking, I was just looking. And I could see the tears in his eyes. He said, did you know how long I walked before I was given? If I could take my inaugural lecture, do you know the work I did? He said, but I have left everything for Christ. His voice shaking. His face was already red. This is what this man has left. He is not just accepting Jesus as a sacrifice. He is now holy. As the Lord is God is holy. So Leviticus is a call to remember in our daily living as we move from post to post. A daily call, a daily reminder that there are things to do for Christ. I know you are rejoicing in the finished work of Christ, but there are unfinished works too. There are things that is left to you to do. Some people, because of friendship and acceptance, you don't talk about Jesus on campus. You don't talk about him at work. You don't talk about him anywhere. Your neighbors don't even know. You deny Jesus, just not with your mouth. You deny him with your life. You are a what's up Christian. You are a happening Christian. You know, that we are Christians does not mean that we don't have to, you know, socialize and all that. Nobody says you don't socialize. What I'm saying is let Jesus be known. Let Jesus be Lord. In all the nations of the world. Everywhere you find yourself. Let people first know. Hey, it's Jesus. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. No compromising. No bargaining. Man, no. Amen. Jesus first here. Jesus first here. Are you a sacrifice? Are you a lamb without blemish? We see it. That is the entire point of Leviticus. A people called apart to serve, to lay down their lives on the altar. The Levites have no land. They have no job. I'm not saying don't have land, don't have job. That's not what I'm saying. You should. Amen. And get a job. Nobody's going to give you money. Nobody's going to feed you. Amen. The Levites have no land. They have no job. Why do you think that is? So we'll show you a life of sacrifice. It's a simple message across the ages. And Jesus is calling you this morning. Will you sacrifice just a little time? Will you sacrifice just a little comfort? Will you sacrifice just a little want? But sometimes we have wrapped our lives around pleasures. Pleasures that will never last. Where's the richest man in 1700? She don't even know his name. But Jesus' pleasure lasts forever. He says, in the world, in this world, and in the world to come, I'm a part of it. And he's strengthening me to live for him, to be a living sacrifice. That's why he said in Romans 12, he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Not like the doves, not like the ram, not like the goats. This sacrifice is on the altar, but is alive. That means every day I am alive. And a sacrifice. What about that? That's what Jesus was. A living sacrifice. Still alive and still sacrificing. We ought to be like him. For we ought to be holy. As the Lord our God is holy. Can we just pray for ourselves? Just sit down there and reflect. Are there things in my life that I've put ahead of Jesus? Emotions. Pursuit. Dreams. Jesus, help me to live the way you have me live. That what needs to be below you needs to be below you. That what needs to be below you, I put it below you. This is the summary. You seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness. What a sacrifice that is. In a world of many pursuits, in a world of many needs and dreams, seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. To trust in you. To trust in you. To not follow the wisdom of man. To not follow the wisdom of man. To live as a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable. Holy. Acceptable. That my service is not a service of selfishness. But just like you, is to present myself. To live the way you have me live. I'll not deny you. I'll be a living sacrifice. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Just a minute more. Just reflect on things. I'll be a living sacrifice, Jesus.
A sanctuary, pure and holy and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. Right and true, with your spirit, I'll be a living sanctuary. For you, with your spirit, I'll be a living sanctuary. Lord, the work you have started in me.
Just of your praying.
You are able to complete. Lord, your word never fails. You bring it all to pass. Jesus, I trust in you. Lord, I trust
with my life
in you.
Guide me. Let your spirit in me. Let it show me what to do. Where to go. How to do it. How to go about it all. Simply devoted to you. That's what I want to be.
I'll never trust in the wisdom of man. Jesus, I trust.